The problem is we didn't try unfettered free market capitalism because, sure, we're now talking about explicitly naming all these firms too big to fail, but the reality of the system has been that these firms were already implicitly too big to fail.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV. Today I'm talking to Anthony Randazzo, a policy analyst at Reason Foundation and author of the new policy brief, Storming Wall Street, about plans to regulate the financial industry. Thanks for talking, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
There are three bills on tap for discussion and possible passage in mid-September. What are they?
You've got first the Consumer Financial Protection Agency bill, which is essentially a bill to try and create a single agency that will take all of the consumer protection regulation roles from the other agencies, put it in under one roof, under
and
one house.
And this is mortgages, credit cards,
mortgages,
payday loans.
Yeah, any sort of financial product, any innovation, whether it's from a bank or a non-bank, would all be housed under this agency, and this agency would have the power to create its own sort of standardized products, simple, plain vanilla is what they use, products, and force all companies to actually offer these in addition to theirs.
Right, and their argument there is that they want contracts for credit cards or loans or whatever that people can read in 4 minutes or less.
Yeah, it's all simple.
Very simplified.
Right. Of course, the bill that they're creating is not readable by any Americans, and it's not readable in 4 minutes or less. But
what's wrong with that bill?
The biggest problem with that bill is that it is telling companies what they can and cannot do in terms of operating. It's saying you can't offer this product because it's too complex, or if you're going to offer this product, you have to write it in this language. And in some cases, they're going to say, here's a product, and you have to offer this. You have to offer this type of mortgage, whether or not it's profitable to that bank, because we feel that it's simple enough that this is what most people are going to want.
So does that raise costs in the way that if you say to Walmart or Sears Roebuck or Kmart or whatever, you can carry whatever you want, but you also have to carry this line of goods?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
What's the next bill on tap?
The next one is sort of a broad approach to regulating derivatives, financial products themselves. So you've got the consumer side, but then you've got a separate bill, which may wind up being coupled with this, so that you pass these together. But this is actually talking about whether or not it's even right to be creating credit default swaps. And so you've got the, how are we going to protect consumers? And then we've got whether or not banks can even be allowed to compete in creating these things.
What, very quickly, define as simply as possible a credit default swap, and what role did they play in the financial crisis?
Very simply, a credit default swap is insurance. It's insurance on another trade or something else, and can be offered by a company like AIG. And so AIG offered all these credit default swaps on different trades for different companies like Goldman Sachs or Bear Stearns. AIG going down and credit default swaps sort of becoming unstable, it absolutely was a problem for the different companies. But if you look at it through a sort of free market perspective, these companies were depending on a company that maybe wasn't that great, which means they weren't making good decisions. They didn't have good business models. And so protecting those companies that have bad business models probably is not a great idea.
But this is the too big to fail theory, right?
Exactly.
Which is that once you get to a certain size, you don't have to be that conscious of your business model, because as long as you're big enough, we know that you're never actually going to fall.
Exactly, which is actually the third sort of bill that they're putting out, that's the big one. And this is what's probably going to be brought up in October, is this bill to regulate systemic risk. So they're going to create this tiered system where all banks, big banks, all non-bank financial institutions like hedge funds, even big insurance companies, they're all, if they are determined too big to fail, they're going to be called a tier one risk, tier one financial holding company, and they're going to be put in this top slot. And all those companies, if anything bad happens to them, government steps in to save them, and they'll know it.
One of the arguments is that, we tried unregulated free market capitalism, unfettered buying and selling and greed, and look where we are now. So this is just a simple response saying, if you're that big, you've got to pay more attention to what you're doing.
Well, the the problem is we didn't try unfettered free market capitalism because, sure, we're now talking about explicitly naming all these firms too big to fail, but the reality of the system has been that these firms were already implicitly too big to fail. If you just go back and you look at minutes of meetings in the Federal Reserve where they got bank presidents together in the midst of the financial crisis, Lehman Brothers was astounded that they didn't get saved. You listen to their leaders talk to Geithner or Bernanke. They were stunned that they were let fail. They assumed that, like Bear Stearns, like long-term capital management back in the day, that they were too big to fail.
What is more difficult for the investment climate or for the financial system? Is it knowing that you're going to be regulated harshly and inefficiently, or you're not even sure whether or not the regulations are going to be stable over time?
Ultimately, banks can get around any type of regulation. So while we're going to sit back and talk about the different problems with the different reforms, uncertainty really is the biggest problem. So there's the argument by many that we just need to get reform over with now. We need to get this through as soon as possible because a bank can figure out how to operate in any financial regulation.
So even a
system.
Bad regulatory regime that is certain is better than a good one that is uncertain.
A bad, well, on the margin.
Right.
So, I mean, if it's too bad, yes. But banks can sometimes even use that as sort of a competitive advantage in terms of, okay, so we're having all of these different products limited in what we're offering. What can we offer that's better than the next company, given that they're in the same sort of climate? So you do have that. But what we are talking about is we're talking about restricting their ability to create wealth. And so a bad regulatory regime may be better than uncertainty, and it may get companies going, but it means we're going to have the economy recovering slower, and it's not going to recover as strong as it could if we were to reform the market in such a way that we allow companies to grow much, much faster, much wider.
Are big companies now, are they leaning towards massive regulation because they know they will have both the political and economic resources to kind of screw over the scrappier innovators who are going to bring the next level of new ways of doing business?
In a lot of ways, yes they are. There's in some ways, there are members of the industry that are going to wind up being okay with these regulations because they have, in some sense, that's regulatory capture. They're able to say, well, yeah, we've got these problems, but all the other big guys have the same problems, and no one's going to really step up. But no CEO in their right mind really wants these regulations. They may be able to say, well, this is, you know, what's politically, this is the reality, and this is what we're going to accept. No CEO in their right mind wants to not be allowed to offer certain derivative products. So, I mean, yeah, in a lot of ways, we're talking about things on the margins. We're talking about what could be or what couldn't be. Financial services reform, whatever happens, is probably not going to be the end of the world. But it is important in terms of America really being fiscally, financially stable moving down the road.
And whatever happens, it will push back any kind of recovery by some amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're going to have unseen, unintended consequences. We may not know how far it may push back recovery. We're never going to know what kind of recovery we could have seen if we restrict these companies' ability to produce wealth. It's going to do something.
Thank you very much. Today we were talking with Anthony Randazzo, a policy analyst at Reason Foundation and author of the new policy brief, Storming Wall Street. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.